Good morning, everyone. Well, interesting day. We're ending the what's recorded in Acts, and we'll finish up the rest of Acts today. But there will be one more day, just to let you know. There's a quite a bit of evidence as I've been doing research that Paul was released from Rome. For a period of time, and there's enough evidence to show that he may have gone as far as Spain before he was actually beheaded later in Rome, like about 5 years later. So I'm going to finish off Acts today, and what we call his first imprisonment in Rome, and then tomorrow we'll finish off the rest of what we know about Paul's journeys, where he went to some other places, and there's some biblical evidence, but some of it's also evidence from some of the early writers. There's even a mention of one of them, and so we'll dive in here. Start with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word for this day. Thank you so much that you've given us so much to think about in all your writings, and that we continue to learn what it is you have for us to know that you've recorded in the Bible. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. So, where we left off Friday, we were in Acts 28. We had done verses 1 through 15. So we're at verse 16. And if you remember correctly, that Paul had just arrived in Italy with the ship after the shipwrecked. And he's still under the guard of the centurion that brought him from down in Caesarea in Judea, Jerusalem. And so I'll start reading here in verse 16. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I ought to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you, to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. So it sounds like that the Jews that were in Rome at the time had not received any word about any of this happening. So they were kind of in the dark, which could be a good thing. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest for this, for as concerning this sect. Now this sect is what better known as the Jesus followers, or what they've been known to be called, as you remember back in our dealings, as the Nazarenes, which basically just represents. It was somewhat derogatory at the time, but it's indicative of the fact that Jesus was born in Nazareth, and that, so they became known as the Nazarenes by some of the Jews. So that's the sect they're talking about here. We know that everywhere it is spoken against. So there has been some rumors drifting around about this sect of the Nazarenes. And when they had appointed him a day, they came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expanded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. So he gathered all the Jews together, and at this point it appears as though he's probably in the hired house that he talks about here in a few minutes. Verse 24, and some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. That's pretty typical of when he's been talking to the Jews all along, and pretty much true today. You can go to Israel today and meet people who are called Messianic Jews who believe in the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and there's some that don't. So it hasn't changed much in 2,000 years. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Elias the prophet under our fathers, which is basically Isaiah. Saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of these people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now these are words that he's repeating that these Jews probably knew very well, and they're out of Isaiah. And I'll just go to Isaiah 6:9. And this is where those Jews should have known, recognized these words. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. And verse 10, make the heart of these people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. So you can see that he was just repeating there in Acts to those Jews in Rome. The words from Isaiah, which was a very devout prophet to many of the Jews at that time frame. We also see Jesus himself also repeated these same words in Matthew 13:14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Elias, which said, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For these people's heart was waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their ears, and hear with their eyes, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I shall hear, and I should heal them. Now this is Jesus talking. So but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now in this particular verse he's talking to his disciples. And there's two good things about this verse. One, it confirms that Isaiah was a prophet, and that Jesus himself was confirming this. But also over in John 12:40-43, we have further reason that we are aware that Jesus had given up on trying to convert the Jews. And that we see this in John 12:40, how he had shut their eyes to the things of the past. He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things say Elias when he spoke his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. So this is the reason that John gives for what Jesus went on to say was a problem with the Jews of that day, was that they were too comfortable in their life. They liked their life the way it was. So just to finish off here in verse 43, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. So again, John here is also reflecting on the fact that it can be easy to get into a situation where the things of the world are more pleasing than the things of God. And so this whole section, I'm reiterating that we see that that hasn't changed much. But Paul continued to try. And back to Acts 28:28, finishing up here. Be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him. So this is the verse that kind of centers on the fact that Paul doesn't seem to be in prison here. He's free to come and go. He says in his own hired house, kind of indicative of like a rental property, being someplace that he can come and go as he pleases. And that a lot of people look at this time frame and see that he probably was not. He was released from the charges that he originally went to Rome for. Now, the verse that kind of brings up what I'm going to talk about tomorrow is in 2 Timothy 4:20. Just to give a little brief synopsis of what I'm going to talk about tomorrow. if you remember forgot where I left off. I'll just explain it all tomorrow because it's still I haven't got it organized yet. But more or less that he was there for 2 years. And what I wanted to say is that he actually, during this time frame, during that two-year period, I wanted to say that four of the letters that he wrote, which was Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon, appear to be written from here, from Rome, when he was here during this time. And you won't see much of him talking about the fact that he's soon to be, that death is close. And now what most people believe is that during his travels to Spain, and this, I want to show you that verse in, I think it was Romans. Yeah, here it is. Romans 15:24, he alludes to the fact that he plans on trying to go to Spain. I'll just read here. Whosoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thoughtward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. And then in verse 28, he mentions it again. Where therefore I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you unto Spain. Now this was, Romans was written on his second missionary journey, I think it was, to Rome. He hadn't been there yet. And so he's talking to, when he says to you, he's talking to the Romans. So what they believe is that he left Rome. And again, just a little brief history. Nero came into power. In about 58, find my note on it. No, I got it here somewhere. Okay. Nero ruled and he came to power in Rome in 54 AD. And he was really young. He was only a teenager. And so between 54 and 60 AD, he was pretty much under the guidance still of his mother. It indicates in some of the early writings that Nero was controlled by his mother mostly during that time frame. But in 59 AD, Nero actually has his mother killed. Give you the idea of what Nero's like. Sounds like they had a disagreement over something, and Nero says, well, I'll just take you out. I'm the leader. Okay, and so to reflect back, it's believed that we also have the evidence of Felix and Festus as the governors of Judea area. That we know Paul, that transition took place in 60 AD. So in 60 AD is when Paul was going through the trials. And so he comes over to Rome, maybe about 6 months worth of, in the journey. And he gets to Rome somewhere still during 60 AD. And it says that he was in his own hired house for 2 years. So that would bring it to about sometime in 62 AD. And his beheading is recorded at 68 AD. So that's where there's a huge gap there, 6 years. And because of some other verses, which I'll go over tomorrow, it looks like that's where he had another missionary journey based on some other verses that he mentioned in other books. So the basic timeline is that one other thing to note is that so that would bring him somewhere in 62 to 63 AD that he could have been released. And realize that even though Nero was a bad Caesar of that time, things didn't get really, really bad until there was a fire in 64 AD that most people believe that Nero was set because he wanted to build some new buildings, and there were some other buildings in the way. But he blamed it on the Christians. And so that's when the persecution of the Christians really became in earnest in 64 AD. And so that's why it's believed that Paul wasn't even there, and that during that time frame, but that he ends up back there around 67 AD, and that's when he gets beheaded. And so we'll go over that tomorrow. It's a really neat story behind it. So I just want to give you a little taste of what I was researching. Because the other thing I wanted to mention is that during that period of time from 62 AD to 67 AD is when they believe that 1 Timothy and Titus were written. So we have references in there we'll see tomorrow that indicate that he was in some of those places, and that the final chapter is in 68 AD. When he gets beheaded, he writes 2 Timothy. And there's even some indication that Luke is still with him. So it's an interesting time frame. And we'll go over it tomorrow. So on that note, I will end for today. And with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word and for this time together. And Lord, you know how much I love it when I get to try to figure things out like this, and that there's some other people have done some research. But bless me with your thoughts on this, and thank you so much for this, and praise and thank you so much in all you do. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. So you guys have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow.